Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Newell getting some well-deserved time away. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you here on WWL. I heard a story on our radio station the other day by WWL's Joe Cardosi. He was talking about how a growing number of local restaurants are catering to people who want to dine alone, who want to eat either by themselves or with strangers. And this is becoming an important segment of the revenue that local restaurants are deriving. It's not just groups of 4 or 5 families, reservations of 12 or 13. More and more people are eating out alone. And it was funny because I went out to eat that same night with my family, and someone walked in ahead of us, and the maitre d' said, "Just one?" And I thought, wow, that's not necessarily very sensitive or catering to this new trend of more and more people eating alone. It's not just one. It's one for dining, please. And so I did a little research, and I found out, according to the United States Census Bureau, the number of U.S. households with just one person is at a record high. More people than ever, nearly 30% of people now live alone. And while that doesn't sound like a huge number, it's not even a third, it's clearly not a majority, it has increased every single decade since the turn of the century in 1900. Every single year, every single decade anyway, we've seen an increase of the number of people living alone. And it's really become more dramatic since 1940. It skyrocketed between 1970 and 1980. And that trend continues now. And I started thinking about the people I know and a lot of people I work with, a lot of people who are in my friend circle, even some of my family members live alone. And I wanted to find out because I've never gone out to a restaurant and eaten alone. Maybe when I was traveling for business once or twice, had lunch at a bar, like at the bar area of a restaurant. But usually, even when I'm traveling alone, if I'm going to a convention or a conference or something, I would get room service. Because there's some weird, and I don't know why, I have no problem with people eating alone. That's great. You bring your phone, you bring a book, whatever. You enjoy a great meal. You shouldn't be not allowed to eat at a restaurant just because you're by yourself. But with this increase of people living alone, I wanted to know, are these people lonely or are they just alone by choice, and they like the alone lifestyle. Or what combination is it of that? So, Megan Mayer, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at LSU Health New Orleans, has graciously agreed to join us here on WWL to talk about it. Megan, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am great. What do you think? This epidemic of loneliness that we hear about a lot in the news, I hear from a lot of people who live alone who say, I'm not lonely just because I live alone. I can be perfectly happy in my own household by myself. Just because I don't live with someone doesn't mean I'm lonely.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people enjoy being alone. So we would use the term solitude. So that's the physical state of being alone, and plenty of people can really enjoy that. Loneliness is more of the perceived feeling of being alone or disconnected from other people. But plenty of people can go eat by themselves and have a marvelous time.
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I've never done it. I've never gone to a movie by myself either. I've been tempted a couple of times because there's a movie I wanted to see that no one in my family wanted to see. But I don't know why there has been historically this social stigma about being alone in public. Do you know why?
No, I think that's a great question. I will say that I'm seeing more and more people eating alone. And I think sometimes I think the people who are doing it obviously are more comfortable with it than I am. But I'm not exactly sure where that stigma comes from. I'm not sure if that's because, we think that people are most comfortable in groups, or we think that people that are out and about in groups have friends and are therefore happier and more content. But I don't necessarily know why there is some discomfort with seeing people doing things like eating by themselves.
I will say that I live alone
and it's fabulous. I have my own schedule. I don't have to work around anybody else. I don't have to worry if I'm making too much noise. it's lovely.
And I know more and more people who are in that same situation as you and are very happy with it. It's not that they're constantly asking, why can't I find love? Why don't I live with someone? They have chosen that lifestyle by and large, not everyone, but many. And we are seeing there's definitely a trend, and the census data completely support it. More people live alone than ever before. And we still, though, hear about this epidemic of loneliness. Loneliness is a problem in our community for those people who are not choosing to be alone, right?
Yes. So actually during the pandemic years, the rates of loneliness or reported loneliness tripled. And even last year in 2024, 1 in 3 Americans said that they feel lonely a good bit of the time. So while there are people who very much enjoy being on their own, there are a lot of people that are experiencing loneliness and kind of lack of connection to other people, feeling isolated, as if they have nobody to turn to or talk to.
So where is the balance between happiness alone and loneliness because you're alone? And I imagine there's some people feeling loneliness who aren't alone, who are in a family setting or live with somebody but still are lonely because they don't feel like they're getting a satisfying relationship out of that situation.
No, I think that's a good question. I think temperament has something to do with it. I mean, so I'm a child psychiatrist, and I can say that I see kids and teens who are, they really enjoy being around other people the majority of the time, and they don't so much enjoy being by themselves. But then I see plenty of people who are very content on their own, kids that can play on their own for hours, and they don't need others. So I think a lot of it has to do with just temperament that you're born with. I think some of it definitely has to do with mood. So if you're in a good place mentally, I think you're more likely to be content doing activities on your own. But if you're sad or down and really feeling like you are lacking connection to others, and I think that makes for more the feeling of loneliness. If we look at COVID, certainly people became much more creative with Zoom and having a lot of online activities to connect with people. But initially during the first few months before we kind of figured out what to do, people were so lonely and isolated But then there were those people that were content. So the balance, I don't have a particular recipe. I think a lot of it has to do with the individual person. But I agree with what you said, that sometimes people can feel lonely even when surrounded by others if their needs aren't being met.
You know, one of the things that came out in the news story that kind of prompted me to have this conversation in a more talk show format was that in New Orleans specific, we are far more likely to talk to strangers. We are far more open to interactions with people we don't know. I've told the story many times. When I went to New York once to go to CBS Radio's studios, I had taken the subway to Manhattan. And, you know, a whole group of us got off the subway, walked up the stairs together and walking down the street. It was like 20 or 30 people who just happened to all be going the same direction. And someone sneezed. And I just turned to him and said, bless you. Because that's what we do in New Orleans. But you would have thought I had three heads or was an alien of some bizarre form or color or something, because everyone else in the group looked at me and like with this evil stare, like, you don't speak to people on the street in New York. And I was just blown away by that and was so happy when I got home to New Orleans. But one of the things that came out is many of these restaurants are increasing the space that they have at the bar. They're either putting in additional bars, lengthening the bars, putting more bar stools at the bars, because they found that many New Orleanians and folks from Louisiana in general like to go sit amongst strangers and enjoy a drink or a meal and talk to people they don't know. And that's really acceptable and encouraged here.
Yeah, I do think, you know, New Orleans, that the hospitality culture, I think to even times when I go out to eat with friends that, you know, you kind of look at what somebody's eating next to you and ask them, how is it? Or, oh, that drink looks good.
Yeah, because you might want to order it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, New Orleans, the friendliness, the smiles, the ability to talk about anything, and particularly, I think, the ability to talk about food. And to be thinking about food and talking about food, even sometimes talking about your next meal when you're at a meal, I think lends itself to people, striking up conversations with strangers at restaurants. I had a similar experience in New York. I had finished some big exams in medical school and was going to up there for a week to visit a friend. And I got on the subway from the airport, and I was so happy not to be studying that I just had this huge grin on my face, and that everybody I looked at on the subway, I just smiled. And then I quickly realized by the looks that I was getting that is not welcome. That's not standard. You know, I need to wipe away that smile and reserve it for people that I really know. Cause it's, it wasn't,
you know,
here,
that's sad.
You know, you can walk down. Yes. Here you can walk down the street with a big smile. And somebody will stop you and talk to you about your outfit or where you're going, or are you local? I mean, people are just willing to strike up a conversation, I think, anywhere. But I do think the food piece is something that we really do like to talk about. And getting a seat alone at the bar, if you're surrounded by all sorts of New Orleans characters, is a fun thing to do.
Yeah, even if you don't have somebody else to dine with, you can go and you're welcome and people smile at you and nod at you and bless you if you sneeze. And it is a good thing. And so while obviously loneliness is a major problem in our community and across the country and probably around the world now, it does seem like more people are more comfortable in situations where they are alone or alone amongst others that they don't know. And I think that's a good thing. But, you know, nearly 30% of people now living alone definitely tells you we're seeing a shift in our culture and our lifestyle.
Yes. No, I think that there does seem to be a particular focus on independence these days and people not needing to be around others or not needing social connections all the time. And being able to choose what you want to do, what works for you. And I think that eating out by oneself is one such example.
We're talking with Megan Mayer, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at LSU Health New Orleans. When we come back, I will have her share some information for those of you who are feeling lonely on what you can do to combat that loneliness, and whether you choose to live alone or live alone because you can't find someone you'd like to live with or that would like to live with you or whatever the situation, or if you're comfortable in your aloneness. We'll talk about steps you can take to avoid loneliness, even if you choose to live alone or not. And I really think, you know, your story from New York and mine make me realize up there, you're the weirdo if you nod at someone, smile at someone, say hi to someone on the street. Down here, you're the weirdo if you don't. And I think that makes us pretty cool. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman. We're back after this. Call me and text me on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. If you have any comments or questions about what we are seeing is a real surge. Every decade, it increases the number of people who are living alone. But does that mean you have to be lonely? Let's talk about it after this on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You may have heard the story a few days ago that Joe Cardosi did about how local restaurants are more and more catering to people who choose to dine alone. And it got me wondering, why is that? Why are we seeing so many more people eating out by themselves? So I looked at the Census Bureau, and every decade, especially since the 1940s, the number of people who live alone has grown in this country to a point now where nearly 30% of Americans have a household by themselves, just one person in the household. And so it made both sense psychologically and economically why we got a lot of people who are alone now. So it makes sense to cater to that segment of our society. But I wondered, are they lonely? Megan Mayer, Assistant Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at LSU Health New Orleans, was kind enough to join us to talk about it. Megan, what do you think in terms of alone versus loneliness? And for people who are feeling lonely, what is your best advice?
So, as mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, solitude is the term that we think of for the physical state of being alone. But loneliness is the perception of being alone, disconnected, and not close to other people. So much depends on the person, on their mood, on their mental state to see if they're content being alone or if they even enjoy being alone. And as mentioned, too, I think a lot of that goes to temperament and just to how people have been since they were little. But I think that we do have a lot of people these days who are feeling lonely. They're disconnected. They're isolated. They feel like there's nobody that they can talk to. And I think that some would say that there is an epidemic of loneliness, and a lot of that started with COVID.
And your best advice to people who are feeling lonely, how can they combat that, or what can they do to not have that feeling of loneliness dragging them down?
So I think the easiest thing is just to reach out to somebody, a friend or a family member, to check in to see how they're doing. In doing that, you are making connection. Oftentimes that leads to making some kind of a plan, an activity. You feel cared about. That person feels cared about. So I think just trying to connect either by phone or in person with family and friends is really important. I think volunteering, I think doing an activity with other people is a very nice, easy way to make connections. So doing some kind of volunteer work at your church or at the food bank or some kind of park cleanup where you're active, but then you're talking with the people around you who are doing this shared activity. You know, I think getting to know your neighbors, as we were talking about, New Orleans is such a friendly place where everybody talks to everybody. I think, being out in your yard, taking walks in the neighborhood, talking to neighbors, getting to know people that maybe you've seen getting in and out of their cars before, but never stopped and talked to. All those conversations and just being out of the house makes us feel more connected to other people and decreases our feeling of loneliness.
504-260-1870. Rick, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. How you doing, Rick?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm content.
Tell us about your situation.
Okay, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. My wife died 8 years ago, and she was the love of my life. And everybody, including her own family, told me I should remarry for companionship. And I didn't want to. So I've got old friends that I've had. I've made new friends, male and female, just friendship. Nothing romantic, but I found I don't need a lot of friends. I just need a few good ones that I can count on and know that they can count on me. That's another big part. What am I doing to uphold my end of a friendship or relationship? You know, I also went out and enjoyed people can join fraternal organizations, as your call of their volunteer work, mentoring, hobbies. Heck, if you go to Waffle House 3 days a week, you're going to meet three or four guys, and you're going to sit around and get used to meeting there every day or every 3 days, and you make those friends.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Rick, because I have seen at a lot of restaurants, particularly around lunchtime, sometimes around dinner time, where there is a group of people who come in alone but end up either sitting at the bar together, or even there's a table where they kind of gather, and they may have finished eating a long time ago, but they're still just hanging out and visiting, and that's their time for interaction and getting some not lonely feelings from other people. But then when they're ready to go home and they want to be by themselves and enjoy their solitude, they can do that.
Right. For example, there's a group, about five or six of us, and every Tuesday morning, we meet for breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, drink coffee and lie to each other, you know?
Rick,
when it comes to fishing.
Rick, I'm glad you found your happy place. I'm sorry that you lost your love of your life, but I'm glad that it you were able to find happiness after that long and wonderful marriage.
I found something too to work. If you're going to eat at a restaurant alone, bring a book or a crossword puzzle, something like that. It gives you something.
More and more, it's a smartphone, but yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine too. Yeah, I'm old, so I don't look at the smartphone that much. And also went around my house, making a list of things that I can do now that I couldn't before, trying to look on the other side of it. And I realized the first thing was I never had to play dual thermostats again.
You're a silver linings guy, a glass half full guy, and we appreciate the call, Rick. Professor Mayer, your thoughts on what Rick had to share with us and how it may relate to others who are listening.
Yes, I love the idea of alone but not lonely. And it sounds like he has, after the death of his wife, received lots of advice about how to handle things, but has managed things well on his own. I think he did an excellent job of saying that, you know, he initially had to put effort into making connections, and he still has to make sure that he's upholding his portion of the friendship. But I think once those friendships get established, like the meeting for breakfast or lunch every few days, they just become habit and routine and are really such a great source of support. You know, I'm not a crossword puzzle person, but I like the idea of that. I think, you know, sometimes when people are on smartphones, it doesn't feel as inviting to start a conversation. But we're also talking about New Orleans, where people are always ready to start a conversation.
Yeah, and maybe it is more inviting if you're working a crossword. Someone may say, sit down and say, hey, what you doing? If they're sitting next to you at the bar, you're reading a book, they may say, what you're reading, other than what are you doing on your phone? So that's an interesting point. And any other advice before we let you run, as we're seeing nearly 30% of Americans, the most ever now, live alone?
I think the most important thing is that you have to start by making an effort. Whether that some of that can be done by social media. So reaching out on social media, finding a group of people online that are like you, but people aren't necessarily going to come to you, or you can't wait for people to come to you to make a connection. You have to put effort, whether that's walking the neighborhood to talk with neighbors, whether that's volunteering, whether that's starting a new hobby. The individual has to put forth the effort initially to start making those social connections, and then continued effort to continue those friendships.
Professor Mayer, I think this is useful information, particularly considering how many people now live alone. And other statistics are suggesting that we're just seeing this trend, if not accelerating, definitely becoming more acceptable. And I think the future holds more and more of people living alone. More than half of children born in Louisiana now are born to parents who are not married. And I can't imagine that these two things aren't somehow related, with people feeling more and more comfortable than ever before, not being in a traditional committed relationship, not being in a marriage, or whatever their reason is that they choose to be alone. Thank you for joining us here on WWL. Anything else before we let you run?
No, I hope you have a busy day and that you remain connected with others around you.
All right. Thank you, Professor. We appreciate it. Megan Mayer here on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.